Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Tenneco Clean Air India Limited Q3 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Roopali Singh, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer from Tenneco Clean Air India Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am. Roopali, ma'am?
Yeah, thank you, Steve. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We welcome you to the earnings call of Tenneco Clean Air India Limited. Today, we have with us Mr. Arvind Chandrashekar, Whole-time Director and CEO of the company, and also Mahendra Chawla, the Chief Financial Officer. A detailed presentation on the business and financial performance is available on the company's website and on the website of the stock exchanges as well. We will begin with Mr. Chandra providing a business update, followed by Mr. Chawla covering the financial results. We expect the updates to take about 20-odd minutes. After that, we will open the floor for Q&A session of about 40 minutes. Before we proceed, I would like to draw your attention to the cautionary statement that appears in the presentation. With that, I would hand it over to Arvind.
Thank you, Roopali. Good evening, and thank you all for joining us for Tenneco Clean Air India's Q3 FY26 earnings call. For us, this quarter was defined by robust execution, execution that translated technology into customer adoption, strengthened our order book, and reinforced the leadership and relevance of our portfolio in a rapidly evolving Indian automotive market. In Q3, we delivered strong value-added revenue growth of 15% year-over-year, alongside EBITDA growth of 25%, reflecting operating leverage and disciplined cost management. Our margins remained at healthy levels, with EBITDA at 18.6%, underscoring the quality of earnings and the scalability of our operating model. For profit after tax, we had a one-time impact of recently notified labor code, which required us to go back in time to calculate the full impact of statutory benefits per the new definition. So due to this one-time impact, our PAT came out at 9.9%. However, without this, we would have been much better quarter-over-quarter, showing strong underlying business performance improvement. Our current ROCE levels, we're attaining 80% plus levels, folks. Now comes the exciting part. At Tenneco, our focus goes beyond manufacturing components. We engineer experiences that OEMs can bring to life, where technology, comfort, and performance come together to create meaningful differentiation for end consumers. A defining highlight this quarter was a strong validation of our technology leadership through the adoption of DaVinci DCX, a first-in-the-world advanced suspension system adopted by a leading Indian OEM for a next-generation flagship SUV platform. With an estimated annual revenue potential of around 2,200 million INR for this one program alone, this win demonstrates our ability to translate mechanical innovation to scalable, customer-relevant solutions. Our patented DCX reflects our commitment to India, bringing global suspension expertise tuned for local road conditions through a purely mechanical architecture that avoids the cost and complexity of software or electronics-heavy systems. This combination of performance, affordability, and speed to market positions DaVinci DCX as a market-ready solution for all passenger vehicle segments, including SUVs. It is also a total game changer and disruptive to the conventional mechanical dampers, which still dominate over 90% of passenger vehicles in India, as OEMs are increasingly pushing ride quality as their top differentiator. Alongside this win, we also secured a strategic Clean Air program win with a leading global commercial vehicle OEM based on a modular inline BS6 aftertreatment system, with an estimated annual revenue potential of around 1,150 million INR. This program allows the customer to retain its captive engine architecture while reducing overall system costs, and it highlights our ability to combine engineering flexibility with the speed of execution. Importantly, this win was driven by close customer engagement, resident engineering support, and strong focus on first-time right validation, capabilities that are increasingly critical as program timelines tighten. These achievements are not isolated. They reflect how our engineering and manufacturing capabilities are being translated into tangible customer outcomes across both advanced right technologies and clean air and powertrain solutions, while our plants expand capacity to support future growth in the clean air business. Now, supporting the clean air growth trajectory, our board has approved to develop a greenfield plant in North India, namely in Kharkhoda, Haryana, to strengthen proximity to the northern customer base and to support awarded programs across light vehicles, off-highway and tractor segments. This project envisages INR 710 million capex with an estimated start of production in Q3 of FY27, further enhancing Tenneco's operational footprint and customer responsiveness. We continue to hold strong leadership positions in our core segments, leading the market in India in clean air and powertrain applications for commercial truck and off-highway OEMs, and holding the number one position in shock absorbers for passenger vehicles. These positions have been built over decades of manufacturing excellence and continue to deepen as content per vehicle increases and program complexity rises. From a broader industry perspective, trends remain supportive, with tighter emissions norms, rising expectations around comfort and safety, and a continued shift towards SUVs and premium platforms. At the same time, India's role as an export base is expanding. Against this backdrop, our portfolio across emissions, powertrain, and advanced suspension is well aligned with where OEM investment and differentiation are headed. Now, before I hand over to our CFO, Mahendra Chhabra, I want to touch briefly on our growth visibility. Our order book remains very strong and well-diversified, with exports now contributing to over 20% of the total order book. Importantly, this order book provides full 100% revenue coverage through FY2028 and supports a clear double-digit CAGR visibility over the next 3 years, therefore vastly outperforming the market. You will recall from our red herring prospectus from last year that we had grown our value-added revenues by 5.9% CAGR from FY23 to 25. This new growth curve between FY25 and 28 proves our tailwinds in content per vehicle, exports, and white space. Our order book is also well-balanced across clean air, powertrain, and advanced ride technologies, giving us confidence in the sustainability and quality of our growth as we move forward. New tariff and duty reduction announcements by the U.S. and EU will strongly improve the tailwinds to allow us to grow our exports further. We're talking about 50% tariffs down to 18% for the U.S. and 3 to 8% range to zero for the EU. With that, thank you once again for your time. I will now hand over to our Chief Financial Officer, Mahendra Chhabra, who will walk you through the financial performance for Q3 and the 9 months ended FY26.
Thank you, Arvind. Good evening, everyone, and thank you once again for joining us in today's call. I'll be taking you through the financial highlights for the quarter 3 FY26 and the 9-month period ended December 25 using value-added revenue, or VAR, as a primary performance metric, as it excludes pass-through substrate costs and more accurately reflects our underlying operating performance. I'll start with quarter 3 FY26. Revenue from operations stood at INR 12,853 million, representing a 14.2% growth year-on-year. Value-added revenue for the quarter was INR 11,941 million, up by 14.7% year-on-year. It clearly demonstrates continued momentum driven by higher volumes and a favorable product mix. Clean air and powertrain solutions recorded revenue of 5,644 million INR, growing at the rate of 5.4%, while advanced light technology delivered INR 6,297 million, growing at the rate of 24.5%, supported by strong suspension demand and the program ramp-ups. EBITDA for the quarter three was INR 2,225 million, a healthy 24.8% year-on-year increase, with EBITDA margins at 18.6% of value-added revenue. Margin performance during the quarter benefited from the operating leverage, our operating model P3, commercial actions, and effective cost management, enabling us to deliver strong margins. Profit after tax for the quarter was 1,188 million. And I would like to mention here that this figure is after accounting for one-off spend related to new labor code, which came into effect from 21st November 25 to the extent of 203 million INR. Excluding this one-off impact, adjusted profit after tax margins remain aligned with underlying operating and EBITDA performance of the business at INR 1,391 million with 11.7% of value-added revenue. Coming to 9-month period ended December 25, we continue to deliver consistent growth with sustainable margins. Revenue from operations for the 9-month period grew 8.1% year-on-year to INR 38,515 million, while value-added revenue increased 10.3% year-on-year to 35,122 million, driven by higher volumes, increasing export contribution, and a favorable product mix. EBITDA for the period stood at INR 6,682 million, up by 12% year-on-year, while EBITDA margins at 19% of value-added revenue, supported by operating leverage, commercial actions, and disciplined cost management. Profit after tax for a 9-month period stood at INR 4,376 million, reflecting a 6% year-on-year increase. Similar to quarter three, profit after tax includes the impact of the one-time labor cost charge, and the adjusted profitability remains healthy and consistent with operating performance. From a capital efficiency perspective, returns remain strong, with return on capital employed exceeding 80% for a 9-month period ended December 25, reflecting disciplined execution, efficient capital deployment, and robust operating cash generation. Our balance sheet metrics continue to remain healthy, supported by a negative cash conversion cycle and effective working capital management. On the revenue mix, exports continue to gain traction and now form its higher share of our order book compared to the domestic business, which structurally supports margin quality. Importantly, as highlighted earlier, our order book provides 100% revenue coverage through FY 2028, offering clear medium-term visibility and supporting a double-digit CAGR outlook over the next 3 years. As Arvind mentioned earlier, we are very excited about the new greenfield plant at Kharkota, Haryana, to support major passenger vehicle OEMs and OH and tractor OEMs. We believe that the capex investment of INR 710 million will give us healthy fixed asset turnover ratio and in line with the consistent with our industry leading past performance. To summarize, quarter three and the 9-month period delivered strong revenue growth, margins, and strong capital efficiency. The combination of technology-led program wins, favorable mix, export momentum, and disciplined execution position us well as we move into the final quarter of the financial year. Thank you. With this, I now hand over the call back to Rupali.
Thank you, Arvind and Mahinder. For the Q&A session, we would request the participants to kindly limit the questions to two at a time. If you have additional questions, please rejoin the queue. I would now request the moderator to please commence the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, please press star, then two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Jinesh Gandhi with Oakland Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes.
Hi, my question is for Da Vinci other than. So would it be fair to say Da Vinci is close to semi-active suspensions which are available in high-end cars?
Steve, the audio is not very clear for us.
Okay, is it better?
Mr. Gandhi, if you could please repeat the question.
Yeah, my question was on Da Vinci suspensions. So would it be fair to say it is closer to semi-active suspensions which are available in more premium vehicles?
Got it, got it. Hi, Junesh, this is Arvind. Thanks for your call. Thanks for your question. No, it's different in the sense that it's a purely mechanical suspension. So I think it really has the best combination of affordability and performance in terms of ride quality. So it has the shim stack discs that are arranged in a way that they allow selective hydraulic flow. So we don't really have any software or electronics like we have in the semi-active suspension, right? So it's think of it as the most affordable but the best ride quality across highways, you know, uneven road surfaces, bumpy roads, and even potholes. So it's got the best combination at an affordable price without having the complications of electronic software, sensors, motors, and so on.
And any sense of affordability vis-a-vis semi-active? Selective is 100, this would be what, about 60, 70 indexed to semi-active?
In fact, let me answer it in a different way. If it's more like a, because you know, 90% of Indian roads have conventional shock absorbers. So you could say that since India's independence, we've mostly operated with pretty, you know, average or, you know, conventional shock absorbers. So if you were to go up from that level, right? So from, if you had to convert every single passenger vehicle, cars, SUVs, even light commercial vehicles and some commercial trucks to go from conventional to this Da Vinci suspension, the additional cost delta is really not much from our, at least the price that we charge OEMs, right? That delta cost is literally the cost of a dinner for two at a five-star hotel. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. So it is very affordable, I think, from a OEM standpoint. But in return for just that cost, you have now a much, much better performing suspension system that's on a vehicle for life. And life means what, 15, 20 years?
Right, got it. And in that context, are you seeing very encouraged and higher level of inquiries from more OEMs beyond Mahindra? Because this obviously seems to be a game changer from suspension technology is concerned.
Yeah, the demand is fast and furious. Everybody recognizes that this is a game changer, so it's just not it's Mahindra. It's obviously many other, you know, Indian and also Japanese, Korean OEMs. Everybody is interested in this technology because, you know, it's at the right cost range, but at the same time, from a performance standpoint, from a ride quality comfort standpoint, it is it's a completely different level. And I urge as many of you to come to our Hosur plant and actually try out the difference between a conventional suspension and the Da Vinci suspension, right? So I think that's the game changer we're talking about. Because, you know, in India, look, we are a very value-conscious society. Yes, semi-active suspension is the way to go in the future. However, you know, it does come at a certain price point because you've got complicated software, electronics, and the integration of all that. However, this suspension, you know, pretty much gets you as close as possible to an electronics suspension. So I think this is kind of a nice kind of a, you know, mid to premium offering that covers a very, very large part of the Indian market.
Got it. And my second question is on your exports. So it's great to see 20% of order book from exports. Any color on how would be the end geographic mix of this 20% order book of from exports? The reason I'm asking this is considering the changes which are happening on the tariff side. EU obviously from 3 to 8% tariffs is now down to zero, hopefully in the next 12 to 15 months. Could that be a very large market if it is already not a sizable portion of the export order book today?
So good question. So this has been the big game changer, right? So just if I just back up a second, right? If you remember in our red herring prospectus, we had said that our exports as a percentage of sales was only 5%, right? So we were not very comfortable with that, right? And the good news is our order book, like I said earlier, is already coming in at 20% of the total order book, which is great news, right? And another great news on top of that is it's nicely spread between clean air powertrain as well as ride technologies, right? So both the engine side and the chassis side of the business are seeing nice gains in export. In terms of regions, look, now going forward, things are going to change, right? Because now the U.S., we have become very competitive because they even from 50 dropped to, not to 25 but to 18, which is excellent from a competitiveness standpoint for us. Same thing with EU. Some like bearings, which used to have 8% duties, are now to zero. So both from a U.S. and EU perspective, that's going to help our competitiveness as it comes to exports. I think exports will see a much higher CAGR. Already exports, the CAGR is very, very, very strong double-digit growth, right? Right now, what we've booked so far, you could say it's a good mix with Asia being the leading destination, followed by U.S. and Europe. But I think looking just at what we have order booked just in the last, let's say, few weeks, it's going to probably balance out much better. And, of course, for the future, because of the new tariff reduction announcements by the U.S. and EU, it's going to get even better. So I think we're very excited. Again, these exports are not just to third-party OEMs. They're also exports because we have better labor cost arbitrage, better competitiveness as we supply back to our Tenneco entities worldwide. Could be Tenneco Europe, could be Tenneco U.S. as well.
Got it. Thanks. I'll fall back in queue.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Jimit Shah with Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for taking my question. So for the past few days, we've been hearing some news on the CAFE norm. So maybe there's a concession for the smaller cars coming in the CAFE 3 norms. I mean, even in TREM 5, there's a push in timeline according to a couple of media articles. So I just wanted to get some sense on what are you hearing from the OEMs and how does it negatively impact our visibility for growth in the clean air systems segment?
Sorry, can I request you to please come a little closer to the speaker and repeat your question? You're not very audible to us.
Yeah, is this better?
Yeah, please, let's try this, please.
Yeah, so just on the clean air solution, we've been hearing some articles, news articles and some chatter on the media that CAFE norms might have some concessions for the smaller car segment and TREM 5 is maybe pushed by a couple of quarters according to a couple of media articles. So just wanted to get your sense on what you're hearing from the OEMs and how can it affect our growth going forward in the segment.
Okay, thanks, Jimit. I got your question. So I think, look, there are always rumors on, you know, pushback, etc., across CAFE, TREM 5, even BS7, as you know, right? But from our standpoint, we're not seeing that, right? We're seeing that OEMs really want to get ahead of the curve. And there's one main reason for that. And the reason for that is exports, right? OEMs are also very, very interested in exporting to you know, South Africa, to back to Asia, to Japan, to Europe, and so on. And you see examples of our Indian OEMs that are finding a lot of recent success with exports in various regions. So I think from that standpoint, if they have to export vehicles from a CAFE, from a CO2 standpoint, they have to be on par with the rest of the OEMs that operate in those regions. And same thing for TREM 5. TREM 5 is a good example where tractors, for example, if you want to export tractors to other regions, and by the way, OEMs make much better profits overseas, I assume, simply because I think that, you know, the market can adopt and accept a much higher price. So from that standpoint as well, we're seeing that there is no pushback. And in fact, if at all, there is more pull from us to say, okay, what else can you do? Can you make it more affordable? Can you make it package better? Can you do it faster? So I think it's more the contrary, I would say. It's just that OEMs really want to make sure that they are not the ones that are slowing anything down from an export standpoint. So they want to make sure that they are on par with the legislation, looking into their business as a global business.
Got that. Also, just on the greenfield plant that we are looking to set up, what would be the asset turn over there? I'm sorry if you've already answered that, I just missed it.
So typically, you know, we say, again, see, this is theoretical because this is how we've operated in the last, let's say, 10 years or so, right? So for every rupee of CapEx invested, we typically, this is again gross block, right? So every rupee of CapEx invested gives us a steady state revenue of 3.5 to 4 rupees, right? 1 is to 4, right? On a net block basis, we are more like 1 is to 7 or 1 is to 8, I would say. So the number that we've put in the press release is 710 million INR, yeah? So you can just take three and a half times that to say, okay, what at steady state, and because there is a little bit of delay, right? So the CapEx comes first and it takes about 18 to 24 months to full ramp up and so on. So it'll be three and a half to four times that number from standpoint of steady state revenue. But and over time, as your CapEx assets depreciate, you know, it will tend closer to the 1:7, 1:8 kind of range.
Mainly, you want to add something?
Yeah, no, that's right. I think so. We are investing about 710 million in this new greenfield, and in terms of FAR ratio, it would be inconsistent with the current FAR that we have. It will take some time, like I've been mentioned. So let's say over the next 18 to 24 months, once the ramp up happens, we should be close to the existing levels.
Yeah, got that. Also, lastly, what would be the current value of the total order book that we have?
Yeah, so order book, we decided we'll publish it every 6 months. So we did one the previous Q2. The next one, if I can just ask you to ask me this question in about 2.5-3 months, that would be great. We will publish the order book for the second half of the year, post the end of the financial year. So we'll do one every 6 months, simply because it's not because we don't want to do it. It's just because they come in these valleys and peaks. But I can assure you the last couple of months have been very, very good. So we're very chuffed, very happy about it. So, and also, by the way, the order book has been so good that we can, like I said in my opening commentary, 100% of FY28 revenues have already been order booked, have been booked, meaning that gives us a very good visibility of a double-digit CAGR. So which means we're going to be growing in the next 3 years way faster, much, much faster than we grew in the last 3 years from 23 to 25.
Sure, got that. Thank you so much, Anil, for
that. Domestic and export, yeah. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, got it. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ravi Gupta with InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Am I audible?
Yes, Ravi, we can hear you.
Yeah. Yes, thanks for the opportunity. And
I'm a little closer. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, now it is better.
Yes.
Yeah, so thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for the solid YOY growth. So my question for the precious metal, integrated precious metal prices. Given the elevated price of the precious metal, what technologies or design approach are OEMs exploring to reduce overall after-treatment system costs? And how you are supporting customers through material optimizations, alternative formulations or system redesigning to address this challenge?
Yeah, good question. But this is an ongoing thing, right? I mean, we always are partners with OEMs to try and optimize the use of precious metals, because obviously precious metals, you know, there's a holding cost, and obviously there's no consumer benefit, right? Consumers don't see the benefit of that other than the fact that it helps, you know, catalyze the conversion of harmful gases into inert gases, right? So that... the function of the catalyst is that, right? So obviously, our help to our customers is in multiple ways. Like you rightly said, it could be material grade choices. It could also be, I think, fundamentally the choice of how we design the mixer, right? So if the exhaust gases are able to mix better in a most optimized way to have maximum exposure to catalysts, then we can actually reduce the amount of platinum, palladium, rhodium loading so as to still get the benefit from a NOx and a particulate matter standpoint, right? So it's really, and again, I commend our very strong parentage, our global engineering folks based in the US, Europe, as well as the strength of our application engineering team here, who form an excellent team, work with all the OEMs around the world. And also, by the way, we also learn from other OEMs as to how they're doing it, and we also are able to kind of make suggestions and advise OEMs on different ways to change the architecture in terms of packaging, in terms of routing of the gases, in terms of precious metal loading, also in terms of material grades, right? So all of the above is something that we've been doing for a long time. And of course, this is our endeavor is to always ensure that we help the OEMs reduce the amount of loading and still be able to meet the legislation throughout the life of the vehicle.
Got that. Second question is regard to the export one. So the EU-India FTA progressing, and how do you see this impacting your business? Specifically, do you expect benefit through low-cost imported component, or it could increase the competitive intensity as global peers gain similar access to India market? What is your view?
Yeah. So, like I said, yes, all of the above. There are certain components like bearings which attract a much higher tariff, like 8%, and that, imagine 8% going down to zero. Now we're able to be way more competitive on price, right? And the same thing for, you know, ceilings, ignition, like spark plugs. So all those become much more competitive from, let's say, a single plant out of India can be more competitive. And by the way, these products, right, bearings, ceilings, spark plugs are very small, right? And they travel really well. So the logistics cost is almost nothing. You put many of these inside a little box and you're able to ship them for no additional cost. So wherever you have exports to Europe or the US, in this case your question was about Europe, and wherever there is an export to Europe involved with small parts that travel well, you can be 100% sure that we will be more competitive than anything that is equivalent in size in terms of, you know, but with the labor cost that comes from a Western European country, for example.
Thanks. That's all the best.
Thank you. Thank you, Ravi.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Bhavika there with Divishe. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. So my first question is on the capacity expansion side. As you mentioned that you have a strong order book visibility, just want to know, are we planning to do a major capex on the on the business side, and especially what's the current status of the capacity utilization? Second question I have is related to the margin side. So basically we have two segments. So what's the margin of clean air segment and the advanced static performance segment?
Mahindra, you want to take that?
Yeah, sure. So maybe I can cover the second question first. So as far as BU-wise margins are concerned, as an organization we decided that we would be kind of sharing the margins at a console level. Even though there is a margin differential between the two, but we will be sharing the margins at a console level. On the second part regarding capex, yes, we were operating at about 80% of the capacity, and today with the volumes that we have, we are at about more than 90% of the capacity utilization. We would be kind of investing in the capacity utilization because we're looking at a strong double-digit CAGR for the next 3 years, so we would be investing in the capex. And one of that is already that we have already kind of announced. We will be putting up a new plant in Kharkhoda, Haryana, which will mainly take up the clean air and powertrain business.
Okay. And as you say that you're like, there is the investment is going to be a life. So when we can expect it be optimally, like when the capacity is going to be live and how we can see the ramp up situation?
Yeah, so as far as this new plant is concerned, like we would kind of start the investment within this quarter, and we should see the ramp up in Q3 of FY27.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bhavika.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Viraj with SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions. First is on the new suspension innovation we talked about. Can you just, from a technical point of view, can you just give some color? Why is it difficult for someone, to offer a similar solution, in Indian context?
Yeah, look, we in India, right, Tenneco India, we have the advantage of having a very strong R&D backbone, right? The parentage is very strong, right? So we are already, by the way, we are leading in suspension globally, not just in India. In India, we now have 52% of the market share, which means one out of two passenger vehicles has a Tenneco shock absorber in it already as of today. And we've gained in the last 6-8 months also. But the global story is not that far away. I mean, we are also leading in suspension technology globally, right? So the strength of our core R&D and, coupled with the strength of our applications engineering team here in India, there are no companies in the world that have this combination, right? We have the smartest engineers, and again, me coming from with a 30-year career across all regions, I can assure you that this is one of the finest engineers I've ever met. Specifically, this DCX is patented, right? It's very unique because it uses, think of like a Pringles, chips, potato chips stacked up, right? It's something like that. You have different discs, different materials all stacked up, and so each of them selectively allows for hydraulic flow in different conditions. So whether it's a straight road and you're making a sudden turn, or you're going through an uneven surface or slightly bumpy surface, or a sudden jerk after hitting a speed breaker or hitting a pothole, the advantage of this is that these discs are designed and each one operates a slightly different way. So, and this is pure mechanical ingenuity, right? And it does it in a way that offers you optimal comfort across all vehicle conditions. And this is, again, we developed it in conjunction with the leading Indian OEM, which I guess you can Google and find out who that is. But this is very difficult to copy. One is it's patented, and plus I think it's a lot of, 3-4 years have gone to bring this into fruition. It's not something that can be copied overnight. And so I think that's the way I would answer it, a combination of the smartest engineers, 3-4 years of development globally and also in India with excellent parentage and very, very close applications engineering work with the leading Indian OEM has resulted in this technology.
Okay. Second question is on suspension. Okay. If you see the trend broadly is, we're seeing a premiumization in the Indian auto industry, and just like other auto components, one would logically think that OEs over a period of time transition to something like semi-active or active. But here you are, a global leader offering this solution, which is relatively a cheaper, cost-effective, I would say, solution to a semi-active. So is that push more driven from the OE, that the transition is not playing out as you think it should have in terms of towards the semi-active, active? I mean, any thoughts you can, give, the thinking behind the solution and, what is driven it?
Very, very good question. Thanks for the question. The OEMs, look at typical Indian OEMs, right? They cater to the A, B segments, then they cater to C segments, and they're inching more and more towards more and more expensive vehicles, right? It's not far away where you'll have an Indian OEM launching a 50 lakh rupee vehicle. I think it is just a matter of time, right? So our job, right, as a supplier to OEMs, as a technology company, is to supply the entire range of segments for the OEM, right? And what this DCX does is sits nicely in the middle. In the middle meaning the big middle, right? Because over 90% of the shock absorbers across all passenger vehicles is conventional, the old boring stuff, let's call it that. this thing sits nicely in the middle and it covers a nice range of sub-segments, right? So it's not in the, like, ultra-premium category. You would obviously go for the semi-active solution because you will need to have sensors, actuators, and electronics that also talk to, you know, braking and steering and so on, in case you want to have, let's call it, a multi-layered experience like you see in, you know, premium vehicles, ultra-premium vehicles. But this DCX technology is sort of like the middle ground where it straddles the entire, let's call it the low-cost affordable segment all the way up to the mid to, let's say, entry-level premium segment. And this is what is the magic here, because it's affordable. At the same time, in terms of a performance improvement, I would strongly suggest that you experience both a typical conventional shock absorber and this DCX technology, and you will see a huge difference. So for that huge difference, the delta price to be paid is very minimal. Like I said, cost of a family dinner at a five-star hotel. But I think the point I'm making is that our job is to cater to every single segment. So when our Indian OEMs and also, let's say, Japanese, Korean OEMs come up with more and more premium vehicles, obviously we'll push them more towards a semi-active or even fully active suspension at some point. But this one is excellent because it doesn't add any incremental cost, at least the cost that we charge, the price that we charge to the OEMs. But overall, in terms of the improvement in performance, you can just Google DCX DaVinci and you'll see there's tens of media reports on how good it is, right? And again, don't take my word for it. Look at independent journalists. It's all over YouTube. In fact, they are doing free marketing for us for Tenneco here. And, you know, you can just go and check and see what they have to say about this DCX technology.
Okay, so this basically would cover the XUV 700, 7XO, both the platforms.
In fact, this thing is so good that we say it covers all the way from the A segments, like the real small cars. Of course, there is a certain bore size, so we don't want to go to like the real low-end ones. Maybe you could say B segment, C segment, D segment. So it covers all passenger cars, all SUVs, and even commercial vehicles in terms of cabin dampers, axle dampers, and so on. So we can actually make a case that this will go beyond the typical, let's say, 5 million a year passenger vehicle market, and it will also go into light commercial vehicles and also some medium to heavy duty trucks.
Okay. I have one question on the clean air division. This is more from an export point of view. See, I understand that tariffs, you know, incrementally, you know, post the FTA deals, it's no longer a barrier it used to be. But if I have to keep that aside and just understand from a unit cost, you know, cost competitiveness point of say of Tenneco India versus, you know, other emerging locations of Tenneco or with other Indian competitors, how would our cost position be?
We believe at Tenneco, at least, okay, your question was specific to clean air. We believe that our cost structure is highly optimized. And that's because of, you know, look at how, the kind of margin improvement we've made, right, in the last 3 years. So to FY 23, 24, 25, 400 basis points of EBITDA improvement, which also, again, because clean air is 50% of our business, the margin improvement, again, that's come through very, very strong cost cutting, right, across all elements of the P&L. Over 200,000, 2 lakh ideas have gone through over the last 3 years and created a model that allows us to be very, very cost competitive. And secondly, because we have this kind of a culture of continuous improvement, that thing doesn't stop. By the way, even now, as I'm talking to you, there are people in the plants that are constantly, they have challenger roles. Their job is to keep taking cost out of the system, right? Obviously, and then labor cost advantage from an export perspective, India is very, very competitive. Also, India is the best combination of a country that has low-cost labor and also educated labor. Remember that India scales really well. We have the best access to, you know, high-quality engineers, operations people, quality engineers, et cetera, et cetera. So that combination of low labor cost plus talent is what makes India special. And, of course, we are we're using that to our advantage. Now, versus other competitors in India or elsewhere, I don't want to comment on what they're doing, but all I'm saying is that we are in the best position to compete globally, to compete in India very well, and also to compete globally. Because look at what has happened in the recent past. In Q2, we announced that we made strategic inroads into the hot end with the gasoline particulate filter with a leading Japanese OEM, which we didn't have access to before. So that certainly opens us, puts us in the supplier panel of this major, major customer, right? So that allows us to grow our clean air market share further in India. And of course, overseas, when it comes to exporting, you know, components like end cones, you know, hydrofoam parts, you know, SCR mixers, diesel particulate filters, because of this new reduction of tariffs between the US and India, and also, you know, Europe and India, our products become more competitive. So the combination of, you know, a culture of continuous improvement, heavy cost cutting, this is part of our culture, right? Secondly, the access to, you know, lowest cost labor and the smartest engineers. And thirdly, and of course, the overall cost competitiveness improves, and because of the tariff reductions, it gets further heightened, I would say, our competitiveness. Did I answer your question, Viraj?
It's okay, I'll follow it up, maybe take it offline. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks Viraj.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question to the management, you may press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Nitin from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on the great set of numbers. I have one specific question with regards to the clean air segment performance. In this quarter, we have seen the AIT grew around 24.5% on a YOY basis. However, the clean air system grew only 5.4% despite the underlying industry, both passenger vehicle and the commercial vehicle, showing strong momentum. Could you please elaborate some of the reasons why was there an underperformance from the clean air system?
Yeah, sorry, I hope I understood the question. The question was clean air growth versus ART growth, right, Nitin?
Yeah. Especially when the underlying industry for the clean air, like commercial vehicle and the passenger vehicle, saw robust momentum post GST 2.0.
Yeah, okay. Because you know, our clean air light vehicle, or let's call it passenger vehicle presence, is not so much in the lower displacement engines. And the GST impact, from a positive impact perspective, has actually benefited more the smaller displacement engines that go on A and B segment cars, where we are not present for the majority with this, you know, leading Japanese OEM. And that's one of the reasons why we didn't get the benefit of that. But that's only for the quarter, right? Because over time, if you look at CM or IHS, they're all predicting that this GST euphoria will die down after some time. So over a full year period, that the euphoria won't last. It'll come back to normal levels. So we think that our growth will in clean air will align itself to the market growth. And also a second thing I want to mention is that because we've made inroads into the hot end at this leading Japanese OEM, that changes the game completely. Right? So over the next 18 to 24 months, you will see that business also ramping up, and also more and more RFQs coming in from that particular OEM, and that will help us grow. Also with recent strategic wins, like we put in the Q3 press release, strategic win at a you know, European leading OEM truck customer, commercial truck customer. There also we have consolidated our position. So our market share is already pretty high, right? In commercial trucks, we're leading 57% share. In off-highway, it's 68%. But that has not stopped us. We're constantly growing and creeping up on market share. And on the passenger vehicle side, our market share has crept up and growing steadily. And plus the exports, see, that's the thing, going back to the earlier question, our exports is really, the order book is very, very strong right now in clean air. So that's the other thing that's helping our growth. So both from a domestic market share capture, getting into white space, enjoying the benefits of content per vehicle because of either CAFE with the like a gasoline particulate filter, or with TREM 5, or with even, let's say, early versions of BS7, we are benefiting from that. So content per vehicle, exports growth, and also white space from a share of wallet capture.
Yeah. Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Viraj Sanghvi with Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I just have one question. In X of Clean Air Solutions business, we've seen almost 400 basis points EBITDA margin improvement on a YY basis. Could you highlight any specific reasons for that and the headroom that you have further in X of Clean Air Solutions business for margin improvement? Thank you, sir.
Sorry, Viraj, I couldn't hear you properly. So your question was the 400 basis points improvement in EBITDA. Is that what it was? Was that was your question? And there an explanation?
Yes. In X of your Clean Air Solutions business, the margin improvement of around 400 basis points on a YoY basis. Any color on that, and what is the scope for further improvement over there?
No. I think you misunderstood. I was talking about the overall business, that is Clean Air, Powertrain and the Ride Technologies. Over the last 3 years, with FY23 to FY25, right, so 3 years, FY23, 24, 25, those 3 years are overall EBITDA, including Clean Air, including Powertrain, including Ride Technologies, the EBITDA went up 400 basis points to the 18%+ level, right? So what I'm trying to say is that post the acquisition by Apollo, the entire company, not just India but globally, has gone on a EBITDA improvement spree, focusing on factory level improvements. Just in India alone, there were 200,000 ideas that went, and of course some got rejected, some went in. So that kind of new continuous improvement culture has become part of our DNA. And that still continues, by the way. Like I said, every day there are people in challenger positions on continuous improvement who are constantly trying to work along the P&L. And again, this means looking at raw material costs, looking at conversion costs, looking at fixed costs, looking at commercial negotiations, looking at design changes, you know, value analysis, value engineering, the whole chain. And this was never part of the old company culture prior to 2022. So this is actually part of the new culture. And this is why I'm saying that I'm very comfortable in our competitiveness, because as we get to become a higher margin company, we also have more freedom to play with selling price, because we can compete aggressively on just with domestic business as well as export business very competitively and still make our margins because of that culture that we've developed. And again, the advantage we have is our parentage, right? Because ideas flow in from all over the world. So we benefit from not just technology ideas, but also from shop floor ideas. We have 180 manufacturing plants globally, of which 12 are part of this particular the post-IPO entity, Tenneco Clean Air. And we are able to share ideas as well as we're able to give out ideas that help all the other plants. So that's why I'm very comfortable in the fact that this allows us to stay competitive over time. Does that answer your question? So if it's a general answer that covers Clean Air and also Advanced Ride Technologies, but you know, that answer covers all the products under that umbrella.
Sure, sir. Thanks for that. Secondly, just could you point out the CAPEX till date in FY26 and range for FY27?
Yeah, so as far as FY26 is concerned, we have announced this new plant in Kharkhoda, Haryana, with an investment of 710 million INR. For FY27, we are working on the kind of budgets and on the assumptions, and we would soon be sharing that guidance about the next year CAPEX plans.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question. It's from the line of Jimit Shah with Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Yeah, thanks for taking my question again. Just one question, largely on the exports front. A few days ago, we saw this Trump administration coming revoking the climate regulations and vehicle emission standards. So, because you have some parentage in from the US as well, a couple of companies over there, is there anything, a major shift in US markets that you're seeing which could lead to potential growth in the export business for us?
Jimmy, can you repeat the first part of your question? What emissions legislation change? What were you talking about?
So I think a few days ago, the president had revoked the basis of US climate regulations, which ended some vehicle emission standards over there. And there was some appeasement on the EV tax benefits, the tax credits which the companies used to get over there. So if there's anything that you've heard from your US companies or any clients from there which has some incremental knowledge of what's happening over there, how the OEMs are thinking about EV transition over there.
Yeah, so very good question. I'm glad you brought it up. See, the U.S. has been, and it's also got to do with EV stories. EVs always had subsidies, and that's the reason they were selling. And now if you take the subsidies away, they don't become very attractive anymore, right? Or they become less attractive. And you're seeing this trend in both the U.S. and Europe, where people are moving back, like they buy an EV and after 2, 3 years, then they realize that the resale value drops dramatically because nobody wants to buy an electric vehicle with just 40% state of charge, right? And that's prompted a lot of buyers to move back to the ICE world, right? Which means either using petrol or a diesel engine, possibly hybrid. So the hybridization has actually found more support there. And I think in China also they're starting to see, I talked to my colleagues in Tenneco China, they're also seeing a slight kind of move to more like a compromise situation where it's neither full ICE nor full EV, but like a hybridization, like either a plug-in or just like a mild hybrid, right? This is great news for us, right? This is great news for us because the whole point of Apollo's takeover of Tenneco 3, 4 years ago was the contrarian strategy that EV is not going to completely rule the world and destroy everybody. It's never going to happen because there are so many things that run counter to EV success. For example, China controls all the raw materials, right? And you have one country completely controlling that, plus a lot of what happens if, once you have to dispose of the lithium-ion battery, what happens there? What do you do with much reduced state of charge if after 2 years, what is the resale value? There's so many, and also charging infrastructure, right? So there are so many different complications, and especially that are highlighted or heightened in a country like India, right? So I think for us, the announcement of Trump that he's going to move back to a more, move to coal, I think recently he just got an award or something, just 2 days ago for that. This just means good news for us. It means more exports for us, more growth for us. And again, we're not going to shy away from constantly making sure that we work with the OEMs to keep making both petrol and diesel engines very, very efficient, right? Through strong aftertreatment systems, etc. So we're constantly innovating, working very closely with the OEMs on this. Does that answer your question, Jimmy?
Yes, but nothing currently from our guys in the US, correct?
Yeah, because it's just 2 or 3 days old. In fact, this just happened like a couple of days ago.
Right.
But overall, I think if that's the direction, then I'm just saying, based on the announcement, it would mean good news for us.
All right. All right. Thank you so much. That's all from me.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Ms. Roopali Singh, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer from Tenneco Clean Air India Limited, for closing comments.
Thank you, Steve. Ladies and gentlemen, on management's behalf, I would like to thank you for your continued interest in our company. We appreciate your time and participation and look forward to speaking with you again in the next quarter. Thank you and have a good evening.
Thank you. On behalf of Tenneco Clean Air India Limited, we thank you for joining today's call. This concludes the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.